Okay. All right. So we're recording, and this is another episode of the Margaret Fontana Media Podcast Zoom interview show. As I mentioned before, we stepped up our game and we started doing more Zoom interviews because we wanted to connect with everybody and really start seeing everybody during this time frame. And so today I'm so excited. I'm trying to sing because she sings, but I'm a bad singer. She's a great singer. So with me today, I have Badia Farah, who is a, I would start off with saying she's a Broadway star. I grew up with her. She's one of my good friends from growing up. That's important to say, right? And she's a singer. She's a songwriter. She's a producer. I mean, I don't know what she doesn't do. She also acts. She's been in some films. And so I would like to throw it back over to Badia. Thank you so much for coming on and doing this with me today. I see you. You look beautiful. You look amazing. I know I've said to some people, you look amazing this summer, but you look like something's going on over there. You're looking really good.
Thank you. Thank you. I receive. Ooh. And I want to say thank you for inviting me.
Yes. No, thank you so much. You know, when I think about people who are inspiring, motivating in film and entertainment and, you know, just the arts, I think of you. And so to kind of give everybody an idea, you know, tell me a little bit about you, you know, how you became Badia, you know, who is Badia basically. So give me like a little background on you and what you're doing and, you know, even what you're doing right now.
Sure. So for me, I have always been a performer since I could remember. I remember my dad told me when I was 2 years old, we went to a wedding and I said, I want to sing. And so the couple let me sing. And I said, well, I did at two. How did I do? He said, you blew it. But you did. So I have never questioned what I wanted to do with my life. I've always known that I wanted to be a singer, a dancer, an entertainer. I've always known that. I started dance lessons at four, and I used to wake up every morning and play certain songs that I would get ready to in the morning before I went to school, and then certain songs I would sing and play when I got home at night. It was an all day, every day thing for me throughout my entire life. And even to this, you know, performing, going on set, going on stage, I'm still putting on makeup. You know, doing shows, getting ready, like I have been doing my entire life. Mm-hmm. So the essence of me is that I've always known, thankfully, because there are people who don't know what they want to do, right?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I've always, no question, have known that I wanted to be a performer, an entertainer. And I always said an entertainer because I never wanted to limit myself. Like, yeah. Even then I knew that I didn't want to just limit myself to be a singer, even though singing and dancing was my passion. But I always knew I wanted to be an actress. I wanted to be a singer. I wanted to be a dancer. I wanted to travel the world. I didn't want to put any limits on what I can do in the entertainment field.
Right. And so just as like a side note, so we grew up together. This is like for everybody who doesn't know, we grew up together in the same town. And we went through elementary school together, and this is everything she's saying is true, because like I remember being in chorus and like all the arts classes with her and with you, and it was just always like you were always this shining star. Like there was always something very different about you where and it's true, because like all the teachers would be like mesmerized by like how amazing you sang or how amazing you performed. And like we would all stand there, like every time you did something we were like, all right, I don't know, she's got this. And even through like high school, you know, like middle school and high school, it's like we always just knew you were like this amazing performer, you know, like that's that you branded yourself very early in the game. Very early.
I always knew. And you know, Margaret, you probably remember when I was in the fourth grade, I went to the music teacher and I was like, I want to sing a solo. And
I remember.
Okay. And she was like, what do you want to sing? I said, I want to sing The Greatest Love of All from
Whitney. Yes, I remember this.
Yes. And she was like, can you sing that? I was like, yeah.
I remember.
So we sing it like a talent show. And then for fifth grade graduation, I sang it for our graduation.
Yes.
And Sunny Mae Montas played the piano.
Oh my God. Yes.
Yes.
But amazing. She was amazing at piano too. We had like an amazing group of kids. Like everybody was talented.
Yes. And then all the music teachers would tell the next school, okay, Badia's coming to your school. So then I would go to the next school and the music teacher would give me a solo or whatever.
Did you have Mrs. Pryor in?
Yes.
Oh, you did. See?
Yes.
She was like an amazing musical theater, like aficionado. Yes. Wow.
Yes. She used to set me right next to her piano. I was in the alto right next to her.
She was awesome too. Yeah, I had her class. Yeah, she was really great. So, okay, that was our side note, just to talk about that this stuff is like in your DNA. Like you got to know early it's inside you. And we all knew it was inside you. So give me like a little bit about, okay, so you went through high school, like you were a star all through those years. And then like, how did you set yourself up? Like, did you move on to like some type of other school after high school? Or did you go right into learning like, okay, let me go and join a band. Let me go do something else. Like, what did you do?
Okay, so after high school, I was going to different like programs like North Community School of the Arts, and you know, I was taking music classes at different places, and I never quite put it to like things together. I'm gonna tell you how it comes full circle. So I went to Kane for undergraduate, and I was a science major.
What?
And I was a science major. I know.
Wow.
I know. And I got to my senior year and decided to change my major.
Wow.
And it was a huge intervention with my family. But everyone sat me down like, no, you can't do this. And I was like, I just cannot do this. My heart, everything in me was like, I have to be an entertainer. That's what I do.
Yeah.
So I changed my major to communications and radio and TV. And my last year of college, I had to do an extra semester. I did a radio show. I did a TV show, and I started going to New York every day to do open mics.
Really?
And every single day. I went every day. And then when I left, because I had to do an extra semester, I went and I started working at Sony Music. So I started working in a record label. So now I was working with Mariah. I was at her label. So I started with Mariah Carey's record label, Crave. And then I moved over to Sony Music Columbia Records in the A&R department. So my thing in the music industry was figure out what goes on behind the scenes.
That was smart.
Yeah. So I used to read all the recording contracts.
Wow.
I would go to the studio with an artist and see what was going on, you know, how everything worked at the studio, who were these producers, it was a life lesson that I got paid for.
That's so smart, because I mean, that's kind of like when people ask now, like a lot of people always ask, you know, how do I get into radio or TV? It's more like TV. How do I get into TV or film? Mm-hmm. And I always tell, you know, any of the kids, I mean, you know, I do the college once a semester. I hang out with kids. I teach the kids. You know, I always say you need an internship and you got to get in like being someone's assistant, someone's intern. You got to like learn it from the back end. And then someone says, hey, do you want an entry level job? And then you're, you know, you can't be like crazy and picky and just, you have to say yes. Like those are the moments that open up those opportunities. So that's so smart. And you know what? I had no idea you did that actually.
Yeah. And I did that for about a good year, and I met some great people. I learned a lot of things, and I reached the point where I no longer wanted to be behind the scenes. I wanted to be the person in front. So I was like, I can't stay at the record label because I want to be an artist.
Yeah. Wow.
So what I did was I left the record label and I went to NYU. And that literally changed my life. And I had no idea that it was going to do that. I had always sang, danced, and acted all my life, but I auditioned and got into a music theater program and did not understand it was music theater. I just thought it was singing, dancing, and acting. I was like, great, I do all those things. And they started talking about, you know, music theater shows. And I was lost. I was like, I don't know what's going on. I raised my hand. I said, what are y'all talking about? I don't know what Little Night Music is. I don't know, like, what is this? And they were like, the professor said to me, do you know where you are? And I was like, yeah, you asked me where I'm at. And he was like, this is a music theater program. And I was like, what's music theater?
Oh, that's
sweet. And so I had to learn from the bottom up what music theater was.
But was that the best thing that could have happened?
It was the best thing because of the connections that I made at NYU. Mm-hmm. I met one of my closest friends and collaborators for 20 years now, Joe Iconis, who is a writer, music theater writer, and he's an amazing, amazing talent. Just had a show called Be More Chill that was on Broadway. Wow. I met a lot of musicians that I still keep in touch with and work with to this day. Someone I'm doing a project with right now, we both went to grad school at NYU together. I mean, it changed my life because it put me in a different mindset. It opened me up to that thing where I said I wanted to be an entertainer and not just a singer and a dancer. It opened me up to the possibilities of what I could do outside of being a recording artist.
I love this. Wow. Yeah. That I, you know, it's so funny because I remember you went to NYU, but like, you know, I didn't realize that you had all of this like background in everything else, like in theater and, you know, like you're saying, like, I had no idea. I thought you just jumped right into everything, but that's like, that's invaluable. I mean, what you already did and then like learning in NYU, I mean, I can imagine probably elevated. And I always say it's about those connections, you know, it's like you make friendships and connections and it's like your talent is needed, but having the network around you is necessary because that's how you say, hey, Joe, I know, I just finished this other show. Is there something else that I can get into next? You know, it's
exactly.
And that's how it works in like all the spaces and places in like media and entertainment. So you did NYU and then like, did you land like your first Broadway kind of off-Broadway show right after?
Yeah, so before I even graduated from NYU, they had us auditioning and whatever, and I got a summer stop job, which I didn't know what that was, but I got a job.
You are so funny.
The things that have happened to me, I have kind of just jumped into and didn't know, but it has been like the best. It has turned out to be like, the best thing because I put myself in the right direction of where I need to go. Right. Yeah. So I got a job before I graduated with a theater called Farnsworth Playhouse in the Catskills, New York.
Wow.
And I was a resident artist. And I got that job in January, and I didn't graduate till May. So I didn't start the job until June.
Wow.
Now, as a resident artist at Farnsworth, we did 4 main stage shows, mm-hmm. 3 children's shows.
Wow.
And after each show was a cabaret show. So in the morning, we would rehearse the main stage show. At night, we would do the main stage show and then run over to the pub and be waiters, waitresses. I beg to be a bar and then do a cabaret show. Clean up.
You did it all. Like you put in your time on all these things.
Yes. And we did that from June to August.
Wow.
Yeah, and there I have friends that I still keep in touch with to this day. One of my dear friends from there is somebody named Morgan James. She graduated from Juilliard at the same time I graduated from NYU, and she's a recording artist now. She's worked with Clive Davis and all kinds of people, and we did Farnsworth. as a resident artist to get.
You just don't know.
Straight out of college.
You just don't know. Like, you know, it's like, and that goes back to saying, like, I'm trying to also, like, through the interviews, like, we're doing through Zoom here, and, you know, and in speaking with you, you know, I want to kind of get that idea out there, too, because I was saying to you before, like, everyone always asks, like, how do I break into the business? Or, like, how do you get your first gig somewhere that has to do with any of those places? And it's like you just said, you know, you took on this job, and it was like, you had to, you know, do all of these different things that you've never done before, and maybe even like pretend, you know, and it's like, here, I'm going to use my talents, but I don't want to say fake it till you make it. But like, you were like, you just thrown into it. So you're like, I'm going to do all these things. But I think you have to do those things in order to grow. You know, I think that's so important. So you did that. And then you jumped over to, I mean, I want to talk about like two of the other major things you did, because the one of the major shows that I saw you in, you did an off-Broadway show I started seeing that you were like doing an off-Broadway show online on like, it was on Facebook and all these things. And I'm like, what is this? I'm like, I have to go see her. It's off-Broadway. Like that was like your foray into Broadway. And I remember I came to see you. It was over the summer, and that was what was the name of that one on the off-Broadway?
Attack of the Elvis Impersonators.
Let me tell you, that was amazing. the level of energy that went into that whole thing was like mind-blowing. I could not believe it. You are amazing in that. What amazed me more was the fact that like, how quickly you had to go from like one thing to the next thing to the next thing. And yeah. The theater was like, you know, it's Broadway, off Broadway. So like theaters are very like narrow, and like, I am positive behind the stage is probably super narrow, where you guys are like scuffling to get past each other. Yeah. So it was so impressive. Like I just was like, holy crap. I can't believe I'm watching her on an off Broadway show right now. And you were like, you seemed like you loved it. I think that's what I kind of, I got more of your energy, because you were like in the audience too. And like, you went right back. And I was like looking at, I was like mesmerized. I was like watching you. And I was like, your energy, you know, it was like, it was so amazing. And it was just like, you know, it just kind of like almost casts a spell on you when you're in the audience. Like, oh my God. And especially if you love Broadway shows. So amazing. That was so
Thank
good.
You. Thank
Did you,
you
love that? Did you love it?
So I, you know, have done all kinds of shows, right? Yeah. I went on tour and did Rent. I did Little Shop of Horrors, the Broadway tour, and I did it at Paper Mill. You know, I've done Ragtime and all these shows that, you know, are fun or mean something or whatever. And that particular show
was harder.
It was fun because it was so silly. And the cast, we just dived right into the silliness of it. You know? Like we literally just went full force into
it. Looked fun. It was like it looked fun.
Which is why it looked so much fun, because we, you know, it wasn't one of those like Ragtime pieces, you know, where it's a period piece and it's something so serious and people are trying to get a message. This was pure fun. And we just dived directly into the silly fun of it, which I think radiated from us because to the audience, and made the audience have fun because we were having so much fun.
Well, right. That's exactly what it was. And as a person, as an audience member sitting there, and like the cast is running through the audience, and like you guys are so close, you're so close to the stage. I mean, I was like, I couldn't like keep up. I'm like, oh my God, I'm like, what's going to happen next?
Yeah.
But it was so cool. You look so good. You sounded amazing. Like,
thank you.
It was just like a moment where, you know, you know someone in real life, and then like you see them performing on stage. You know, it's kind of surreal too at the same time. So I'm like, I know her. Like that's my friend. Like everybody knows. I'm like, I know her. That's my friend. You know.
Yeah.
So it's amazing. So now Tell me about, okay, so let's talk about the big moment for you, which was you landing probably like your moment, your amazing moment of landing the role on Broadway. Mm-hmm. And this was for the School of Rock.
Yes.
So tell me about that.
So when I got the audition for School of Rock, my agent called me and, you know, told me about the audition and, you know, sent me the sides. And when I went over the sides, I made a clear distinction on who this woman was. The character I was auditioning for was Miss Shinecoff, which was, and her color was green. And she didn't have that much of a backstory. She was kind of like, she was a principal character. So my first Broadway show, I had a principal, I'm a principal. So big ups to that, because yeah, that's hard to do. But
yeah.
But she didn't have that much of a backstory. So I decided who exactly she was going to be. Mm-hmm. So when I went in to do the audition, I was clear on who she was. And the casting agent and the director, we all had so much fun. It was one of, like, they were cracking up and rolling all over the table and they were filming me. And we had so much fun in that audition. And when I left that audition, I said, that's my job. Oh, and let me just say this. Before I auditioned for it, I went to see the show. I went to see the show when I got the audition. I'm sorry. When I got the audition, I went to see the show. And I had a friend in the show and that I had just done another show with. And so he brought me backstage and he brought me on the stage. And he said, all right. He said, you're on this stage. He said, sing something. And I stood in the middle of the Winter Garden Theater and the lights were dim and I just sang out. And, you know, the merchandise people, the cleaning people, the stage crew, everyone was still there because it was just right after the show. And he videotaped me. I still have that videotape. And I just was like, okay, I had that moment. Then I had the audition and the audition went great. And I was like, this is my job.
This was the moment you knew.
My job.
You landed it.
Right. So I was in like Payless shoes or something with my girls, and I was buying them shoes for school or something. And my agent calls me and he was like, I just need you to know that you booked the job. You're going to be on Broadway. And I ran down the aisle of Payless shoes. I was running back and forth, up and down the aisle. I was like, no,
moment. See, like Payless should hear your story, and like make you into a commercial.
Because oh my God.
That they're gonna tell you. That's a good idea.
Oh my God. Yeah.
That's so exciting. Yeah. So were you like, oh my God, this is it. This, like, everything you've worked for up until this very moment, like when the agent said you got it, were you like, this is it. Everything I've done till this moment has gotten me to right now. Like, yes. Is that what went through your mind?
That's what went through my head. I was like, you know, finally, you know, like, you know, they saw it, you know, I brought it, you know, the timing was right, you know, the role was perfect. And it all came, you know, rushing down to me. Yeah. And the thing about it too is that what they were looking for, and I didn't know this, but I'm very thankful for, was that they were looking for someone to completely kind of change who that character was.
Oh.
So they gave me, and this is not normally what happens in a Broadway show for a role that's already been, you know, cast. They gave me the freedom to make her who I thought she should be. And she, and all of a sudden, I was like the comic relief. I was like, people couldn't wait for my character to come back on stage. Like, it was fantastic.
That's an amazing opportunity because, I mean, like, sometimes you get the characters or you're reading what the character should be and it should be conservative, or it's like maybe thought of like, okay, keep it buttoned up or whatever. But the fact that you had the freedom to kind of like, you know, look at who you are, right? It's like, I know who you are and you're like so many things. So it's like, you're going to bring all of those things into a character who many people know, because I mean, School of Rock is like one of the most popular Broadway shows to ever hit the stage, and you're in it, you're playing one of the main characters. So it's like, what an honor, what an amazing opportunity. And like, you're at the forefront, like obviously as a woman, as an African-American woman, you know, coming and bringing a whole new idea to the character.
And the woman who played her before me was a white woman. So I was the first African-American woman to play this role on Broadway.
That's amazing. Like,
yeah. So,
and I think that's actually like a lot of what, you know, I think people should know about. See, and I think a lot of our network and people know that you were in School of Rock, but I think like as a piece of information that's so important, because you're very young. I mean, obviously we're young, like I say I'm young, right? But
yeah,
you know, it's very innovative actually, because you're a woman, you're young, mm-hmm. and you're a mom, but you're an entertainer, and then culturally, ethnically, you're African American, and you're bringing all of this for the first time, and it's like, that's something in itself. Like, we need a whole other Zoom interview podcast. No, because I was just looking at the time. I'm like, I have a million things I would love to talk about. Yeah. But I think that's the part that's so intriguing that most people probably don't know.
Yeah. Unless we can do a part one, part two.
Yeah, we need to do a part two on this.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think what, you know, because obviously my Zoom show, podcast show, we have a certain amount of time, but I wanted to actually get to that, and I wanted to talk about like this moment you had about landing this amazing role and bringing something new to it. Mm-hmm. And actually it's like it's groundbreaking that this happened. You know, it's like, you are part of like a movement, you know, that's a huge movement. So, you know, if you were to tell anyone else coming up, right? Like someone who is coming up, they're learning entertainment, film, theater, maybe they're in those same things that you went through. What would you tell someone? Like what would be your advice to someone? And maybe even they're female, like same idea, you know, like what is it now? You know, and there's so many challenges, and obviously Broadway is shut down right now because of the pandemic. So like, let's do it in two parts. What would you tell someone to kind of like keep their spirits high, to keep going? And then like, what do you think about where you think Broadway will go once it opens back up?
Okay. Well, as far as advice, I always take advice in two different forums. One is, if you really have a passion for something, if you really love to do something and you see yourself doing it, you don't need advice. Ooh. You're gonna go ahead and do what it is that you need to do, because this is your passion, this is where you see yours, and you're gonna push forward. And you don't need anybody to tell you, you know what I mean?
That's
what you need to do.
That's good. Oh my God, I love that, okay.
Yeah. But if I was to give someone advice, I would say, do the homework. Don't just wake up, you know, and feel, you know, in this microwave world, you know, I'm going to get a job and I'm going to be on Broadway and I'm going to, you know, you have to do the work, and you can't be afraid to do the work.
Wow. Love.
You just have to. There is no way around it. There are people, you know, these in School of Rock, these children were between 9 and 12 years old. These children were about it. They had lessons. They knew how to play instruments. They, you know, these are the people who are your competition. So you cannot slack and just say, I'm the best. Everyone's the best in their town. You must do the work.
Love that. Wow. That is amazing. And yes, as I'm listening to you, we have to do another session to talk about just like the motivation and the work.
Yeah.
That's a whole other thing. Okay. So now tell me, what do you think is going to happen with Broadway you know, Broadway shut down because of the pandemic, but where do you see things, or what are you hearing as far as like your colleagues and your network?
Right. Well, it's really devastating because, you know, this is our job and this is what we do. And not only is it not affecting us not working, but it also affects us as far as benefits are concerned. You know, your health care, you know, insurance, things like that are all tied into, you know, how many weeks you worked, our union. So a lot of people, as far as not just working and making a paycheck, it's also, you know, your health, your livelihood. So it's a lot of people are going through that. And right now there really is no foreseeable future when it's going to be open.
So there has to be like some type of announcement coming from like government at some point saying like, okay, this is it. We're moving into opening up and getting back to what was normal.
Right. Well, here's the other problem that Broadway specifically has, is that Broadway is not a regional theater. So like a regional theater is like Paper Mill Playhouse, right? It's in Millburn. You have people who subscribe every year. They're going to go to every show. They have their seats. They, you know, they have a core audience. Broadway is not that. It's in the middle of New York City. No one has season, you know, tickets to anything. Right. The audience is dependent on tourists and people coming into New York and staying in hotels and people from around the world and blah, blah, blah. And because of the coronavirus, you can't open up a theater and have people from around the world sitting there for two, 3 hours watching a show.
It's tough.
It's tough. So we'll have to see what happens. We'll just have to see.
Well, I mean, listen, it's Broadway. It's like one of the main economic engines of New York City. So we definitely will have to make a comeback. And
it will make a comeback. We just don't know when.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously 2021 will be the year for like a rebirth, it sounds like, in all places and industries, because it's just like, I think we're just all living the same like line. We're all in the same boat right now.
Right.
So tell me what you're working on right now, because we're going to wrap up our conversation. I mean, I can't believe our time flew so fast, but we definitely
know.
So you're a singer, songwriter, and I know on a lot of your social media, you push out a lot of like your music and the things that you're doing, and when you do are able to perform as you do. So where can everybody find you, and are you working on a special project right now?
I am. So I just finished a song called Turn On, which is socially about what's going on, and every time you turn on the TV.
Yes, I heard it.
Yeah, then you're just hit with everything going on. So I just wrote that, and that is on all platforms streaming. Currently, I'm working with a friend of mine that I went to NYU with. He is a jazz trumpet player, and he's won Grammys, and he works with Christian McBride's band. We are working on a project together for my next CD release, which will be coming in 2021. Also, I just found out recently that a commercial that I sang lead on just won an Emmy.
Really? Which one? Are you going to share it? Like, are you going to push it out?
I am going to share it. I haven't shared it yet because I have people that are like, you have to do it this way. You got to do it that way. You guys. So I'm trying to.
I would love to see.
Trying to find the best way to announce it.
Yeah.
But it's a commercial that I did a year ago for BWI Airport. I just went in, you know, the marketing people told me what they wanted. I sang it. You know, it's the Mavis Staples song, I'll Take You There, but it's We'll Take You There.
Wow.
And just found out like last week that the commercial won an Emmy.
That is amazing. Wow, look at you. Now you're an Emmy-winning songstress. You really, and like, here you are. It's like you're either in Payless, you're sitting on the couch, you're in the kitchen, and like you're learning that you're winning all these awards, and you're just like sitting back, chilling, and then shopping. But you put in the work, like to your point.
I put in work.
You put in the work, and now here you are, like a month, 2 months, 3 months. Here are the residuals. They're coming in. Like your return on the investment is coming in. So I think that's the lesson. And you know, I think it's so important, and that's why I wanted you to do a podcast with me, because I really feel like, you know, you're in arts and entertainment, you know, you do media, you do film, you're kind of like this umbrella, you're an entertainer, you do everything. And, you know, I'm in those worlds with you. And mm-hmm. So a lot of times, you know, I hone in on like the marketing and how to push a lot of that stuff out. But I just think it's so important. And I thought it was important to talk to you because you bring a whole different level and a whole different perspective. And I definitely want to talk more. And I think, you know, we kind of unraveled a couple of things that we want to talk more about. And I think it has to do with the motivation, the work, and really diving into like the process. I think the process is a whole other thing we can reveal. But I want to talk more about you as the world starts opening up, because I know you're going to be busy. I know you're going to like land the next amazing thing while you're like outside mowing the lawn or something. You're gonna know, I was in the pool and I just found out I won a Tony. I'm like, oh, okay.
I know, because I found out about the Emmy, I was braiding my daughter's hair.
See, like, you're just always like, oh, what are you gonna do? You're so funny. So I want to say thank you. I want to just say, like, it's awesome to see you. Like, literally, we're seeing each other because I haven't, like, physically seen you in a while with everything. But once everything, you know, goes back to normal, I want to see you.
Yeah, definitely.
We need to do our New York. We tend to, like, always see each other when we're in New York.
Right.
Or we go out to eat in Union at Van Gogh's.
Yeah.
We plug Van Gogh's, but we go there sometimes too. So thank you so much. And you're awesome. You look great.
Thank you. Thank you. I just want to say thank you for inviting me to come on here and talk and, you know, shed some light on some things and talk about myself and my accomplishments. You know, for any contact for me, you know, I'm on all the social media things. So Facebook and
Badia Farha. Your last name is spelled Farha. So if anyone's looking for her, it's Badia, Badia, but I will write that all. So you can go look her up and check out her music. In the meantime, while she's about to win her Tony, her new Grammy winning song's coming out.
Well, I just want to thank you so much. You know, it's always a pleasure when I get to talk to you. It's always a pleasure when I get to see your face. You know, it really is joy for me, you know, especially from knowing you for so long and seeing how you've, you know, accomplished so much. And I mean, you want to talk about proud. I'm a proud friend. My goodness.
Thank
you're
you.
Killing it. So, oh yeah.
You're awesome. And that's the other thing too, because I think relationships are probably the most important element to, I think, succeeding in anything, because, you know, like, I've known you forever and, you know, there's nothing like weird inside of that. And that it's like a pure, honest, joyful relationship. And like, you know, we love each other's successes. Like, I'm so excited when like amazing things happen for you too. So that's why I'm always like chasing you. I'm like, what are you doing now? Where are you? What's
going on? Yeah. And I remember I saw you standing on the stage giving a speech at the New Jersey Film Festival and I was sobbing. Oh. I was like, look at Margaret. Full on sobbing in the audience.
Thank you.
I'm just so proud of you. I love you. And I think you're amazing. And, you know, just doing your thing.
Oh my God. I'm going to go cry now because I'm all right. Thank you so much. All right. I love you. And we'll talk to you.
Yeah. All right.
We'll get more into this. I want to know more about you. But thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.